The following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcast Network. For advertising information or to find more great podcasts, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com and follow us on Twitter at RealTheUnderdog.
Yeah, welcome to another episode of Get Paid, your one-stop shop for all things fantasy, gambling, and daily fantasy. We are proud partners of Underdog Podcasts. You can also find us on Podcast One and streaming on YouTube at youtube.com/TheUnderdog. You are listening, as usual, to Sean and Brad. Brad, how's it going, my friend?
Howdy ho, brother. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you as well. Brad and I are actually recording this on 12/31. What do you got going on tonight? I know you got something going, dude.
Yeah, I'm going to cook myself a big steak with shrimp, and I'm going to be asleep by 10:30.
Hey, there you go. Way to ring it in. You must have been had a long holiday, I would imagine, you, especially because you celebrate both Christmas and Hanukkah. Did you get both in this year, or did you only do Christmas?
No, just Christmas. It's not that I dislike New Year's. I just find it to be a little bit underwhelming.
You know, So I live in Chicago, as you know, Brad, and when I lived in Florida, I would always do something on New Year's. And for the most part, I'm a low key guy. So it'd usually be like me going over, you know, to our friend Eric's place or something like that, you know, and occasionally I would go out. And one of the best New Year's I've ever had was I went to Universal Studios in Orlando. When I lived in Florida, and you know, they had like alcohol carts and stations set up, rang in the New Year with like fireworks and stuff. But you had all the it was awesome. You had Islands of Adventure, the roller coaster. Yeah. It was great. It was great New Year's, probably the best one I've had. And then you know, you get up to Chicago, and really, your only, because it's so cold up here, your only option is to buy a ticket. And the hotels, what they'll do is they'll rent out their own ballroom, and you buy this ticket for $100, all inclusive, all you can drink, all that stuff, and ring in the New Year there. But the ticket costs like $200. The dinner, if it's included, usually is mass produced dinner, you know, like steaks that have been sitting out for 15 minutes, so they're all dry.
Of course.
So, like, we don't really do anything other than, you know, just chill out. So, we're going to chill out tonight ourselves. I'm sure I'll be up just because I'm always up late these days, but. Yeah, I'm not a big New Year's person, especially up in Chicago because it's so cold. You can't really do anything fun. But if we were down there, I'm sure we'd probably do something because it'd be warmer in Florida. But we are not, and that's the world we live in. Hey, Brett, before we get rolling here, just everybody. So obviously it's a short week. It's a playoff week. Well, I say short. I mean, there's only four games this week. It's wild card weekend. Brad and I will get to the games. You know, I've been on Bovada Sportsbook, obviously. I have all the odds. I have all the daily fantasy stuff if you want to play daily fantasy. We'll get to that in a bit. But, you know, high level, Brad. Let's just throw this out to you, just a little discussion point. Are you surprised at anything of how the NFL season ended at all? Does anything jump out to you, either the last week of the season or just in general from the whole season? Did anything jump out to you?
Any surprises?
Yeah.
I am surprised that New England coughed that one up at home to Miami.
It's their annual bad December loss to Miami. It's so weird.
I know. Right? Didn't last year they lost on one of those Hail Mary lateral deals, right?
They did, right? Yeah.
And what's more painful, losing that way or just having Fitzpatrick just drive down your throat at the end of the game?
Yeah.
That was very surprising.
What is that, the first time in – is it? Am I right about this? First time in 10 years they don't have a bye week? In the playoffs?
Correct.
So there, and this to me, and we'll talk about that because we have a game coming up, but what you and I have been talking about, Brad, is, you know, Belichick, and I, you know, one of my rules, and it's still a rule of mine, don't bet against Belichick. Now, it doesn't mean I have to bet on the Patriots, but don't bet against them. I crossed my own rule up in the playoffs last year where I was just like, this is the year the Chargers can do it, and then the Patriots ran all over them, and game was over like 5 minutes into the game, but... You know, the interesting thing is they don't have the bye week. So what do we know about Belichick? If he has 2 weeks to game plan, he's like 85% covers the spread. We're not even talking about wins loss. We're talking about covering the spread. He doesn't have that second week this time around for the first time in a decade. Now, he's still the better coach here, don't get me wrong, but that's an interesting storyline. And then you have the other crazy Belichick stat is the second time he plays a quarterback, his cover and his win percentage is ridiculous as well. They're playing the only team in the playoffs for the AFC that they have not played yet this year.
Oh, things are all of a sudden not lining up for them.
They're not. And now I'm not saying they're going to lose, and we'll talk about it.
Me neither.
I have the numbers and I have my initial picks, but I have some stats to go with these and all that stuff. I haven't made my official pick yet, but I don't love them as much this week as I would have had they been playing like a Pittsburgh.
Yes, I agree. I don't love them as much either. However, they're so much smarter and more well prepared.
Yes.
That and I would almost still inexperienced, right? So I would almost still take them, you know? Like, it's still the same thing. Like, you'd kind of be a fool. Are you going to take New England or the field? Well, you'd kind of be a fool to take the field, wouldn't
you? I'm taking the field this year, Brad. I am.
You are. Okay. Well, maybe fool is a strong word.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe now, fool. I wouldn't have done that. This is the first year, and we'll talk about this when we get into the game. But this is, like, there's some holes in New England. We'll talk about them, but their defense is still world class. Their defense is fantastic. Maybe a top 10 defense in terms of one season output we've ever seen. So that's very good. And their special teams are on point. So and we'll talk a little bit more about that as we move forward. One thing,
let me say this: their defense is good. All right. I don't know exactly which quarterbacks they faced all year, but I can guarantee you, it ain't great.
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
It's just, I bet the majority, I know they faced, did they face Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes?
They did and they lost.
And they lost. Mm. And did they face Lamar Jackson?
They did and they lost.
And they lost. All right. So that's 2 out of 14. I bet out of those other 14s, you see
they
a lot of
Deshaun, they faced Deshaun Watson and lost.
Okay. All right. So then the other 13, bet are a lot of guys with the last name Allen. I bet you see, you know, because there's like six of them and they're all rookies. You know, they're all like Jerry, Terry, and Kerry Allen. They're all the same guy. I can't tell any of them apart.
One has a mustache. One wears a hat.
Exactly the same way. My point is yes, the defense has been really good, but you can get fat and happy off subpar quarterbacks.
Sure. Let me think about, I guess, surprises. One that we were not surprised about, but we'll harp on because there's some news that comes out today. Cleveland, you and I were on the under on them all season long.
We hit that nail on the head.
And I would say for the most part, Brad, we were pretty – I'll revisit that and I'll go to stats. By the way, I did for our regular listeners. Brad, you finished at about 50 to 51%, which is below the pay line but above – and this is all games against the spread, not your favorites, but all games. So that's actually pretty good. Games against the spread over 50%. I was at 55.5, 56, all games against the spread. Here's a real son of a bitch for you, Brad. There's a major contest I won't mention by name, but there's a major contest. Had I entered, Brad, my computer picks, which I use on this show to make some of the stuff, had I entered the computer picks would have finished third in the country, which would have won me $300,000, $350,000 this year. Mm. So in 2020, I will be entering some contests with just Rocobot. Old Rocobot,
nice. Old Rocobot.
But I mean, the computer picks did very well, but they always do well. Shame on me for not, putting my money where my mouth has been for the last 6 years. But that won't be the case starting next year. I snuck in. I got some good wins and some parlays, so I won some good money in week 17. The thing that, like, to me, one of the most obvious bets of the year was RG3 starting for Baltimore against Pittsburgh, and Baltimore was getting 2 points. That was a slam dunk of the century. So I put them in a ton of parlays. Tennessee playing Houston's backup players. Tennessee needing the win in your in situation. Ryan Tannehill's been playing lights out since he's been taken over there. That was a slam dunk. So I had Baltimore and Tennessee in like all my parlays. If I had hit, and I made a mistake, but had I hit Indianapolis over Jacksonville, which I added them because I thought they were still mathematically in the playoff chase, but they weren't. So that was my mistake. That was an oversight on my part. But if I had I hit that, I would hit 16 parlays like all over the place. But so it goes. But anyway, back to what I was originally saying, Brad. Sorry. So back to Cleveland. Freddie Kitchens is fired. That's something we called, what, the second, third week of the season, was it, Brad?
Yep.
Cleveland fans were fighting us on it as, you get your motion into it. I get it. We're not going to harp on that. But it was pretty obvious, Brad, to me and you that Freddie Kitchens was not for the job early in the year. And then today it just was announced that now Glenn Dorsey, their crap GM, I think he was actually the big problem there. He will not be back now. So Cleveland, clean slate. I don't know what coach or what GM would want to go there. That's the challenge to me. Who would want to go there?
Well, talent-wise, I think you want to go there.
True. Very true. Very, very true. They're talented.
It's not that they don't have talent. Also, you have to, if you're going to go there, you have to go there believing in Baker. Like, you have to find a guy yeah. that says, I like Baker, and I'm willing to work with him and be his guy. I think that's the criteria. I don't think it's a, you know, structurally, they keep firing these coaches after a year or two,
right? That's the problem, right.
That's
yes.
the problem. So, from your point, why would you want to go into that environment? Well, here's the thing. I think that if they bring in someone like Mike McCarthy, I think, like, you don't fire him after 1 year.
But if, right? Here's my thing with McCarthy, and I agree with what you're saying, Brad. Here's my thing with McCarthy, though, is he's a Super Bowl winning coach who basically kind of revitalized Brett Favre's career. Say what you want about the relationship he had with Aaron Rodgers. He turned Brett Favre's career back around in Green Bay, okay? Yeah. Because Brett Favre was a more likable Jameis Winston when he was playing yeah, under Sherman and all that. He was throwing a lot of touchdowns and a lot of interceptions. I remember he had like a 24-25 interception season 1 year. And we had Jameis hit 30 interceptions, by the way, Brad. He went 30 for 30. Wow. 30 touchdowns, yeah, 30 picks. Right. It's crazy. But anyway, for McCarthy, I feel like I would rather sit out one more season than take that Cleveland job if I was McCarthy. Not – look, I love Cleveland. I love the fans, the support of the organization. That owner is goofy. Haslam is a dumpster. He is volatile. I don't want anything to do with him. To me, the only kind of guys that are going to take that Cleveland job, and we've talked about on this show before, are either – coaches that have been assistant coaches forever and have never gotten a chance, so they're desperate, and they're like, you know, all of a sudden they look up and they're 57 and they've never gotten a head coaching job, so they need to take something or they might never get it. Or an older, successful head coach that nobody's going to give a shot on because they're old. To me, the slam dunk is still Mike Shanahan here. That is the perfect fit because he can deal with it. He can stand up to the owner. Now that the GM's gone, he can have some control of the personnel. That offensive line's not going to be an issue for him because of the how he coaches offensive lines. They'll be able to get it back in shape. He's going to run everything through Nick Chubb and maybe Kareem Hunt if he's still there. And he's going to have Baker Mayfield now rolling out and hitting wide open Odell Beckham and wide open Jarvis Landry because of the scheme. It is a slam dunk. Is it going to happen? No. But I'm telling you, if they make that hire, I would actually pick. I honestly would do this. I would pick Cleveland to make a wild card position next year in
yeah,
the playoffs,
I would,
if they made
I would
that
also,
hire.
I would also, if they took either, if they took McCarthy, I would also, I think he's a good fit basically for the town of Cleveland.
Yeah,
general.
I think he'd be a great, I do think he'd be a great fit everywhere except for the owner is just a nutball, man. He's a nut job. And I don't know, man, if you have options and McCarthy will have options, I don't know. Another guy, for example, I don't think this is a good hire, but another guy I think would fit the profile of that kind of head coach or that kind of team just taking a job for Haslam and his ownership group is like a Brian Billick or a Jim Fossil, guys that have been desperate to get a second chance at head coaching. But
is he looking to coach again, Brian Billick?
He's been trying to get back, and nobody will even give him an interview. But it's getting to the point. Do you remember when Lane Kiffin got fired from Oakland and then nobody would take an interview with Oakland and they ended up hiring maybe Tom Cable or something like that? Cleveland's getting dangerously close to that level. And I'm actually shocked, by the way, that the Redskins were able to basically – I don't think as of the time of this recording it's official. It might be, but it wasn't as of the last time I checked my newswire. Ron Rivera is going to be the next head coach of the Washington Redskins.
That's right.
And I'm shocked that even Ron Rivera would – because he's going to have options too. I'm shocked that he would go there, but you know he's going to make a ton of money. So – but if I was Ron Rivera, I wouldn't take that job because he came with a lot of criticism.
Snyder?
For Snyder. I wouldn't do it. And yeah, they got rid of Bruce Allen, which is a big deal in Washington. They had to do that, and I think that was the right thing to do. But, you know, Ron Rivera, for coming under as much criticism as he had come under in Carolina, I feel like if he tanks in Washington, and I think it's likely that he will – you know, that, I think that's a career killer for him. I just, you know, I don't think so. But to be fair, the articles I've been reading for the Redskins is that Ron Rivera is going to be a lot more involved in the personnel decisions. Maybe not be the GM, but a lot more involved. And they're bringing Jack Del Rio in to be the defensive coordinator, apparently, and all that stuff. So, I mean, there's reason for optimism. The defensive unit was probably the better. They got to replace that quarterback, though. Haskins isn't ready to be a quarterback. Maybe Alex Smith somehow has a miracle return. He's trying to get back next season. We'll see. But
that'd be nice.
Yeah, it would be nice for him. I mean, he's a good guy. Like, you don't want to see a guy's career end.
Right.
Then you got
he was out all year, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was out, right? Since halfway last season.
Yeah,
after that leg break, and then you know the Redskins gave him a bunch of infections after their surgeries. That's what the Redskins do. They lose football games and then they end careers with staph infections. It's the organization's MO. It's very weird. Very weird. Anyway, let's talk about some playoffs, brother.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Look, we'll go game by game. So we get AFC on Saturday, NFC on Sunday. Which
That's
I thought was
weird, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, very what weird. I don't like that at all.
Me either. Why are they not splitting them like they always have? I don't understand that.
I don't like it at all. And I got to be honest with you. Like, okay, let's say New England wins against Tennessee. This is not the game we're going to lead off with, but you know, whoever they played next week, I'd be a little annoyed that New England gets an extra day to prepare, an extra day to game plan. Then again, I guess the idea is that New England would then play the team on Saturday next week anyway.
So are they going to do the same thing for the divisional round?
You know what? The schedule's already set for the divisional round of when the home teams play, so I haven't looked at that, but my guess is if both teams play in the AFC on Saturday, they'll both play on the you know, both games next week for the AFC will also be on a Saturday. That's just my guess. But anyway, yeah, it is weird. But let's start, Brad. We have Buffalo, according to Bovada, +3 at the Houston Texans. Mm. Interesting game. Let me just run down some stats for you, Brad. And I'll just give you the home and away stats. So away, the Buffalo Bills score 21.5 points a game, and their defense gives up 15.6 points per game. So that's a net of, what, about 5 there, pretty close. Houston at home scores 25 points a game and gives away 23 points a game. So that's only a net of 2. Mm-hmm. You have Josh Allen versus Deshaun Watson. I would say the advantage has to be Houston there. I mean, would you – I don't think anybody.
Quarterback wise, yeah, yeah.
But I think, and I would say at receiver, Houston probably has the better of the receivers there. You got DeAndre Hopkins, and if Will Fuller is healthy, him. Mm-hmm. Whereas Buffalo really only has Cole Beasley and John Brown. No disrespect to him, but he's not DeAndre Hopkins. So, you know, I would say that skill players and quarterback probably goes to Houston. But I have to say Buffalo's defense is better to me. I think Buffalo's running game, although Houston has – no disrespect to Houston's running game, but I like the 1-2 punch of Singletary and Gore better than I like Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson. So it's a pretty close matchup. +3 to me is like that's a tough one for me to call, Brad, but where are you leaning on this one?
I like Buffalo, man. I think defense wins out in this one. I'm rooting for them anyway, for sure.
I lean – Here's how I'll pick. I've done this with Houston in a while, or for the last few episodes, and it's not a popular opinion. I can tell Houston fans downvote me every time I say this, but it doesn't make it, you know, untrue. Houston is a different team when Will Fuller plays. Brad, I'm sounding like a broken record, you know. You've heard me say this before.
Sure.
But, you know, Houston, when Will Fuller plays, is like 7-2, and they score a lot of points. When he doesn't play, they tend to lose because teams will double or triple cover DeAndre Hopkins, take their chances with the running game, keep the game close, and win in the end. And, you know, Houston needs a vertical passing component, and it's the same thing I say, Brad, about Green Bay, as you know. That there are teams that need that vertical component. Houston is one of those teams. Now, if you had a tight end like Travis Kelce, you know, one of these crazy good tight ends that can just own the middle of the field, that vertical component isn't as important. That's why we see a team like Philadelphia doing well, because they have Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. Those tight ends can dominate the middle of the field and move the chains. They can play more ball control. Darren Fells, I like him, but he's not that kind of elite tight end. So without that, and Green Bay, Jimmy Graham is not that elite tight end at this.
No, he's not.
So once you get to that component, if you're not going to have that deep threat, you need to have that elite, you know, game-changing type tight end, and neither one of those two teams have it, so I worry about them. If Will Fuller doesn't play, I'm going to take Buffalo to win 20-17. If Will Fuller plays, I'm going to take Houston to win 24-20. So I'm going to punt on my pick, but okay. I will say I'm going to stick to exactly that reasoning. So if Will Fuller plays, you can assume that I'm picking Houston to win by 4 and cover the spread. If Will Fuller's out, I agree with you, Brad. I think Buffalo scores 20 either way, and it's just a matter of whether or not Deshaun Watson can get that magic going. And I think Josh Allen, I think he's going to throw a pick in this game, maybe 2. I don't know what the Bovada over or under the prop bet is for that, but I'll be checking it. Josh Allen, let me write that down. I'm writing a note. Brad, again, let me just bring this up because I always do. I hit the all-time best bet with you in that Denver versus Seattle Super Bowl years ago when I gave you even money odds that the Demaryius Thomas would fumble in that game.
I've never seen anything like that.
You're like, I'll take that bet.
I can't even believe it. It was just insanity.
Oh, it was so good. They were getting blown out, and then
that was a lock.
First drive in the second half, he fumbles, and I said he had to lose the fumble on top of it.
Right, and it all happened. I mean, that was like channeled through you from some other place,
I put it out
right?
The universe that I want. So let me say this: I think Josh Allen throws for an interception. If the over under, if Bavada has that over under at about, I don't know, at one, I'm going to stay away from it. But if the over under is at like a half, I'm going to take Josh Allen to throw an interception. Look, this is a close game, and in fact, all the lines, I got to say, I don't see a lot of value here. To be honest with you, I don't think I'm even going to bet any of these games because they all kind of scare me for one reason or another. But if Will Fuller is out, I will say I do feel good about that Buffalo. If he's in, I'm just going to stay away from the bet because it's a little bit too close for me. Let me get through some fantasy football. If you're playing daily fantasy football quickly, here's what I have. I have Josh Allen based on his I mentioned his interceptions, but based on his running ability, I do think he's going to be worth a play this week. I have met about a 23. So that's like two touchdowns, give or take. Gore is a sit. Devin Singletary is a start. John Brown is a start. And Cole Beasley is a start for me. For Houston, Deshaun Watson, I do have as a start, but it's kind of like a free worthy start. I think the budget is better for Josh Allen. I actually think Josh Allen outscores in terms of fantasy Deshaun Watson. I know people are gonna be like, what? But you know, it's just how I see it. Remember, rushing yards count here. Neither one of the running backs. I like DeAndre Hopkins. I like Will Fuller if he plays, and nobody else for Houston. Next game, Brad. Here's the game we're probably gonna spend the most of the time. Well, I shouldn't say that. There's some really nice matchups in the NFC too. But Tennessee, Brad, +5 according to Bovada. At the New England Patriots.
Listen, Tennessee should be +5. I know everybody's down on New England, and what just happened to them was very un-Belichickian, right? Mm-hmm. And
well, yes and no, because, again, they always seem to lose a game to Miami. Now
I know, it is weird.
We didn't think it would happen because the regime change and Tannehill and Gase are gone and all that, but they always drop a weird one in Miami.
They do. They do, and this must be like 3 or 4 years straight. Or at least it feels that way.
And it's always like a crippling loss for their playoff seed, too.
I know.
Usually it costs them the one seed and they drop to the two seed, but now they drop, and this is actually probably, you know, a really good. If this were a boxing match, that would have been a knockdown, right? It wouldn't have been a knockout, but it would have been a knockdown. It's like, that's weird.
Yeah,
but yeah, Brad. Finish your thought there. We didn't expect it to happen. I know people are down on them, but you thought that New England should be favored by 5.
I think New England wins this, man. I mean, I don't know why I would think anything else. And it's Tennessee. Let's slow down, okay? It's New England at home in the playoffs. I mean, of course they're going to win, and of course they're going to go to, what would it be, Kansas City or Baltimore, right?
It would be Kansas City. If they win, they will play Kansas City.
Is there any doubt? I mean, maybe the question is, do they win by 4 or 6? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I am going to assume that they are going to win by 10 points.
Oh, wow.
That's where I'm at, yes. For sure.
Well, let me say this to our audience as well. You know, I tend to be a little bit better than Brad in the regular season. Brad is usually better than me in the postseason for these things. So respect to Brad there. You see it as a 10-point game. I definitely take that seriously. I see this as a 4-point game. So when I wrote this down and I looked at the computers and all that stuff, and actually I'll say this, my computer is so split that it didn't even spit out a pick. It thinks that 5 is the line, basically. So it goes back to kind of my feeling. And by the way, Rockobot likes Buffalo unanimously over Houston, regardless of Will Fuller. So Rockobot likes Buffalo. I mean, look, New England has the pedigree. They have the experience. They have the home field advantage. They have the defense. And I'll give you the stats here. Their defense this year has given up all year. Home or away, they've given up 13.2 points per game. But at home, they've given up 13.3. So they're consistent. You know, what you see with a lot of teams, Brad, is, you know, when I break these down, is you see like home, they give up like 2 or 3 fewer points per game at home than they do on the road or something like that. What this is like 13.3 at home. They're actually 13.1 on the road. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's consistent. Now, what they score, everybody's all down on this Patriots offense. What they do offensively, they score at home 25.4 points per game. That's good enough for a net of about 12.1 net. You look at Houston, at Tennessee, okay, season long, they give up 18.1 points on the road. and they score 23.9. Now, that net margin has been increasing since Tannehill's been there. I don't have the Tannehill split. I need to get that. I apologize to everybody. But, you know, what I'm saying is once Tannehill went over, and we've been talking about this for weeks now, once Tennessee went from Mariota to Tannehill, this team became a team. Like a viable playoff team. I call playoffs when they were 5-6 for this team when they made that switch. I think this is a scary team. I think in terms of matchup, I think New England would probably rather play Buffalo. I think New England honestly would take their chances with Houston at this point, having played them before. Vrabel knows Belichick, dude. Like, this is
okay. I'll give you that.
I think New England wins. I'm worried about the spread. I'm staying way away from this in terms of betting. I don't care any scenario unless, like, the only way I would bet on this game is if Brady went out or if Tennessee went back to Mariota. I'm not touching this game otherwise. Or maybe if Derrick Henry for some reason can't go or something like that. But I'm staying away from this, all things being equal. I do think New England wins, but that 5-point spread, man. I was hoping it was going to be like, New England -3 or -3 or something like that. So I feel a little bit better about betting them. But it's just too close to call for me, man. If I have to pick, I'm gonna go with my gut and say Tennessee covers but loses. I think it's a 24-20 game. I think Tannehill.
I disagree, dude. I do.
What do you think? What would you say the score would be? You say it's a 10-point game. What do you think it's gonna be?
I think it's gonna be 22-10.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, you know, Tannehill's had success in his past against New
England. 27-13.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't think it's going to be that much of a struggle.
Uh-huh. I don't have a strong argument. I'll be honest with you, man. I don't have a strong argument against it. I really don't.
Right. And it's not like – it's New England. It's at home. It's the playoffs. It's friggin' Ryan Tannehill, right? Like, let's just say it out loud. And there's nothing wrong with Tannehill, but – I mean, just based on pure experience and preparation and smarts alone, New England prevails.
Sure, and I'm pulling up the the futures at this point, and Tennessee, according to Bovada, is +4,500 to win the Super Bowl. So that's 45-1 still, even at the sixth seed. New England dropped this week, but they're still at +1,000. So they're 10-1 according to Bovada to win the Super Bowl. So Bovada still likes them.
Let me ask you this. Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting question, right? Because, you know, my opinion is still based on the fact that they're New England and that they're a dynasty, right? Mm-hmm. But we know that when these things end, they
fall off, right? A cliff. Yeah,
it falls off a cliff. That happens a lot. So they lose. Let's say for some reason they lose this game. So that's a home loss to Miami, big home loss,
home loss,
and then a home loss to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the end of the dynasty as we know it? Like, is that it?
I don't think so, because I think this team. It has suffered this season from the loss of Gronkowski and the losses of Antonio Brown / yes. Josh Gordon. If yes, they had, yes. And I was saying this before with Houston, right? New England it fits that composite. Now, their defense is strong enough to win games when their offense isn't, but they suffer from the same thing. They do not have a downfield threat, and they don't have somebody that dominates the middle of the field. Now, you can make the argument about Edelman, but you know, Edelman's role is a lot more diverse than being the slot guy dominating the field at this point, because it has to be. Now, if New England, let's just say tomorrow they signed Gronkowski, I mean, they'd probably be my Super Bowl pick again, honestly, because they need one of those two things. They just, so in this offseason, Brad, if they can sign, I don't know who's a free agent, but if they were to get, I know they're not going to get Tyreek Hill, but just for argument's sake, can you imagine Tyreek Hill moving from Kansas City to New England? This is, to me, the Super Bowl. You know,
before we know it, dude, before we know it, they could have Tyreek Hill and Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
Like, right? And then it's like dynasty odds.
And I think they would only need either the tight end or the receiver. And they just don't have it this year. So they've been trying to win games with defense and with ball control. And, you know, and what we could – you remember what happened last season coming into the playoffs, is there was a lot of chatter about this. And they decided, you know what, we're just going to be a running team and run over everybody. And they decided that going into the playoffs. So we could get that again. I mean, sure. If Sonny Michel and James White, if they own the field between the tackles, then and then with that defense – I mean, defensive run in the game in January, that's going to get you far. So, look, I'm not giving up on New England, but I get what you're saying. I don't think that, even if they lose this game, I don't think that the dynasty is over, but I think you're going to get a lot of flack, and I think we're going to hear a lot about how Brady is past his prime, if that were to happen.
Sure, we'll
probably hear it anyway. And so,
we'll hear it anyway. Unless they win the Super Bowl or at least get to it, we'll hear it anyway.
Yeah, this is the first time in 10 years they haven't had a playoff bye. And we're already hearing the whispers of Brady isn't the player he was and all that stuff. So, no, I think this team is just fine. And when you have a defense giving up 13 points a game and a team that still scores 25 points a game, when your net is plus 12, I mean, yeah.
Well, and also, okay, so Brady isn't the player he was. Well, no kidding, right? Because he's 42. But even that, Brady not being the player he was is still better than 29 other guys, is it not?
Yeah, I'll let me just pull up. Hold on, I have a spreadsheet somewhere where I have all the teams. So maybe I don't. Well, let's just go playoff by playoff. Who would you take more than Brady? I'm going to read every single team in the playoffs. Would you take today for one game? Let's say it's the Super Bowl. So one game, winner. Would you take Wentz over Brady? Carson Wentz.
No. I like Wentz, but no.
I'd have to think about that one. Would you take Ryan Tannehill over Tom Brady?
No.
No, me neither. Would you take Kirk Cousins over Tom Brady?
No.
Nope, me neither. Would you take Josh Allen over Tom Brady?
No.
Nope. Would you take Deshaun Watson one game over Tom Brady?
No.
I'd give that one some thought. It would probably depend on the matchup. Would you take Russell Wilson over Tom Brady one game?
Yes.
Me too.
Yes.
Would you take Aaron Rodgers today, given how the offense is playing in Green Bay, over Tom Brady?
Yes, I would.
I'd think about it. I'm not ready to say yes. Would you take Patrick Mahomes today over Tom Brady?
No, I wouldn't.
I would take Mahomes for sure for one game over Tom Brady.
You would?
I would. Jimmy Garoppolo?
No.
Me neither. Drew Brees?
Yeah.
I would take Brees. Lamar Jackson?
Yes.
Lamar Jackson, I'd think about it. To me, it would depend on who they were playing, but I'd lean yes on that. So,
yeah.
So you take maybe 2 to 3, and I take 2 definitely, and maybe another 2 more. And I'm talking like Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes are my definite yeses. For you, it's Lamar Jackson, Drew Brees, and Russell Wilson. So I'm sorry, I have 3 definite
and Rodgers,
yeses.
And Rodgers.
And Rodgers. So there you go.
I would take Rodgers still.
But these are the elite teams in the playoffs. The number one seed in the NFC, Jimmy Garoppolo, we would both, you and me both would take Tom Brady over Jimmy Garoppolo, leading the 13-3. So that goes to show you, man. I mean, he's older, he's not who he was, but we still like Brady. And I think, I know no matter what they do, Brad, no matter what they do, we're going to hear about how old Tom Brady is again for another season. And he's going to come back, and I'd be just fine with it. And I think Patriots fans would be just fine with it. Now, Belichick, maybe not, but I think even Belichick would be fine with it. I think we probably beat that one dead. Let's go to the next game, Brad. We got Minnesota, according to Bovada, +8 at New Orleans.
+8. Kirky boy. I don't think that. Here's why I don't like Minnesota and I don't like Kirk Cousins this week is because he just laid a big egg on Monday night.
Oh, Monday night. Okay.
Right. And. The last game of the year, I don't even know what happened because it was an exhibition game.
He didn't play.
Okay, so, right. So they're coming off that typical, like, I don't think it works out very well for them. And I don't think it works out well for him.
Right.
I think he's going to have a bad day. A bad, bad, bad day. I take New Orleans for sure.
So Kirk Cousins, again, from having spent time watching a lot of Redskins game, a lot of Kirk Cousins, in pressure situations, he gets happy feet, just like Peyton Manning got happy feet. Now, Peyton Manning won 2 Super Bowls, okay, but and should have won a 3rd, by the way. But he got happy feet. I don't think this is a great game for Kirk Cousins. To me, it comes down to whether or not Dalvin Cook plays, and I think he will play. Minnesota is now getting healthier. I think this is a 4-point game. My computers unanimously picked Minnesota. If Dalvin Cook plays, and I'm assuming he will, I think New Orleans wins the game, and I think Minnesota loses by like 4. This is a tough matchup. Minnesota could have very easily won the NFC North. They didn't, but they could have won that division. New Orleans, out of all the teams in the playoffs, I think that's probably the toughest draw they could have had in terms of matchup. I think that they would have matched up better against Seattle and Philadelphia. But, you know, you draw Minnesota. That's how it happens. I do think New Orleans wins. I think the game could get uncomfortable for New Orleans. I see this as kind of the game where New Orleans leads the entire game but just never puts it away. Uh-huh. So it's going to be stressful to watch. But, you know, I just think, you know, if I'm looking at this team, these two teams are very similar. They're strong. I'll take Drew Brees over Kirk Cousins, and that's the difference for me, okay?
Boy, Minnesota has a lot of Minnesota and New Orleans have a lot of playoff history, don't they?
They do, especially with that lucky Diggs grab, what, 2-3 years ago, whenever it was, with that streak down the sideline.
They had that deal. They had the game where Brett threw the interception across his body, right? Mm-hmm. That was with Minnesota in New Orleans, wasn't it?
And the championship. Was that the NFC Championship game?
It was.
Man.
It was, man. Dude.
Yeah. That was a Super Bowl year for New Orleans. Yeah, man. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, it was.
This is to me as an ex-Washington fan. This would be like Washington finishing the season like 13-3, getting the 3 seed, which, by the way, is New Orleans the best 3 seed in playoff history?
Probably. Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding
me?
This
13.
Are you kidding me? 13-3, 3 seed.
This would be
in my heyday watching, like back when you and I used to watch games, Brad. This would be like Washington dominating all season, getting 13-3 record, somehow getting the 3 seed, and then having to play Seattle. That's the thing because Seattle just always knocks Washington out of the playoffs. Now Minnesota, they had the drama, you know, a couple years ago with the Diggs thing and all that. But this is a bad – I'm not going to say bad matchup because I don't think any matchup for New Orleans is bad. In fact, I think New Orleans is number 2 in my power rankings. Like, I think they're right now playing the second best football in the league. Like I said, I think New Orleans plays, but what a kick to the nuts this matchup is. It's like New Orleans has some bad karma going on with
– They do have some bad karma.
Yeah, they got a
bounty gate.
They got to get one of the it's New Orleans, man. Go down to Bourbon Street, get one of the tarot card readers to get some of that bad voodoo out of there, man. It's
no
like,
kidding.
I don't know what's going on there. By the way, I forgot to give my my fantasy stuff out for New England, Tennessee. I'll give that in a bit. Yeah, man, it's a tough one. But like I said, I think New Orleans. I'm not gonna take an 8 point there though. I'm gonna say Minnesota, and my computer Rockobot says Minnesota. Brad, are you taking New Orleans to cover that spread?
I am. Yeah, I am.
All right. Well, Brad and I disagree, and Brad's better with playoff betting than I am, so I don't love it. Sorry, you took Buffalo for sure, right?
I did. Yes.
Okay. Cool. Now let's see the fantasy football stuff out of the way for Minnesota. I think Cousins is a sit in daily fantasy this week. You can do better. Let's see here. Dalvin Cook is a start. I like Thielen and Diggs. Don't like anybody else from Minnesota. For New Orleans, I actually, based on Breeze's salary, I don't have him as a play. I actually have most quarterbacks pretty closely ranked this week. Let's see here. I have Kamara as a start. Michael Thomas is a definite start. And Jared Cook, I like his matchup against the Minnesota defense. Now, let me catch back up, Brad. Let me make a note of the time here because I'm probably going to splice this together. Let's see, 37. I think that going back to the Tennessee-New England fantasy football, I have Tannehill as a sit, Henry as a start, and nobody else for Tennessee. I think this New England defense gets it done. At least that's what the computers are projecting. New England, meanwhile, I have Brady as a sit. James White, I think, has a good matchup this week at running back, so I have him as a start. Julian Edelman. So to me, like, I can see what the computers are saying. Tannehill throws for 1 touchdown. Brady throws for 2. 1 to White, 1 to Edelman. And Tannehill's touchdown goes to either A.J. Brown or Jonnu Smith, and Derrick Henry could get in the end zone as well. So close game, man. Close game there. But Minnesota, like I said, man, I think New Orleans has it. I think New Orleans has it. Looks like Thomas is going to get 1 to 2 touchdowns. Jared Cook's going to get in there. I see this as both teams, and I'll also go through the stats for you, Brad. Minnesota scores 26.5 points on the road. That's a pretty good road offense.
Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, defensively they give up about 22 points, 21.8. At home, New Orleans scores 28.4 and gives up 23, which I thought their defense would be a little bit better, but I think that San Francisco 49ers game where they gave up like the 50 or the 45 or whatever it was, that probably skewed their number quite a bit. Interesting game. I think this game, both teams score in the 20s. So that's why I have Minnesota. 8 points is a lot in playoff football, man. Okay, Brad. Last game of the week here. We have Seattle -2.5, according to Bovada, at the Philadelphia Eagles. Matchup wise, and this is a matchup of a game earlier in the season as well. Very interesting matchup. This is how we close the week on, in the NFL. We get it, I believe, on Sunday night or at least Sunday afternoon. So, what do you think, Brad?
I think Seattle for sure, man. I really do. I like Russell Wilson. He's probably my favorite player, not named Aaron or somebody else on the Packers, right?
Sure.
I love him. I think that Philadelphia, I like Wentz a lot. I do. I think he's really good. I've seen him ball out. I think the Eagles might be worse than everyone assumes because their division was so terrible.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
And what's their record? 8-8?
9-7. They squeaked in a 9-7, actually. Okay. Two wins, but yeah.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Right? And so I think that Seattle is way better than people assume. It's almost like for about 5 years, Green Bay was really good because Aaron was so good. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where Seattle is right now in that current climate. So I like them to go in there and take it.
I think this game is a very interesting game in terms of matchups. The Seattle, they're big. And let me just start with the computer pick. It's scattered. So there's no consensus there. My computer leans Philadelphia. I lean Philadelphia to cover, Seattle to win. Brad, you're taking Seattle, so let me start with
that. I am,
yeah. So Seattle is one of those interesting teams that their net point margin is low. For a team that was 11-5 at the end of the season, they could have been 12-4, even 13-3 relatively easily. But, you know, you look at that point variation and, shoot, they could have been 9-7 just as easily. And I think that really, to me, is a respect shot for Russell Wilson because, you know, all these kind of close games that they had to win, Russell Wilson got it done. So actually this is, it might sound like a backhanded compliment, but it really is a compliment to this team, what they do to get it done. Points per game, Brad, throughout the season, this is a very interesting stat to me, or a comparison of stats. Entire season, home and away, they score 25.6 points per game, give up 24.8, a net of 0.8 of the season. That's not what you would expect of an 11-5 team. On the road, they score 25 points per game, so they're consistent in what they score. Their defense only gives up 21 points on the road. So they're actually better in terms of net margin. Philadelphia, the opposite is true. They actually score more on the road. The offense for Philadelphia is better. The defense for Philadelphia is a little better at home. Philadelphia scores 21 points at home. They give up 16.8 points at home. You look at these nets, and they're pretty damn close. You look at the yards per play. I haven't really delved too deeply into those yet, but they're fairly close as well. I think this is a close game. I think it's a nail biter. I think Seattle gets it done. I'm not going to bet it because the margin for me is razor thin. I don't see value there, but I see Philadelphia +2.5. I think it's a 24-23 game. I think Seattle wins this, steals the game with a field goal late, or maybe like shuts down Philadelphia from getting a 2-point conversion at the end of the game. It's something that's going to, I think it's going to be that close. So I'll stay away from it. I don't like the value, but I would take Philadelphia in this bet. I just don't feel great about it. I'm not spending my money on it. Brad, let me run through quickly. We're kind of getting long in the tooth here. The fantasy football stuff. Russell Wilson's definitely a start, and I think I would spend the money on him. I think he gets at least 3 touchdowns, and I think he's going to have to use his legs because this Philly defense is going to be really nice against the run. So I like that matchup. Now, I like Homer and Marshawn Lynch now for Seattle. I think the running game, even as good as Philadelphia is, I think they'll get some volume and some touchdowns. Lockett, I like. DK Metcalf could also be a factor, but I don't like anybody else for Seattle. Philadelphia, Carson Wentz, he's a fringe start for me. Look, if you're playing Daily Fantasy, look at the budget. I don't like the running backs for Philadelphia, but I think I like Boston Scott the best because he'll give you the most value, most bang for your buck. If you're looking at receiver, I don't really like any receiver for Philadelphia outside of maybe Ward, but the key is going to be tight end here. Ertz and Goddard have great matchups against Seattle. Seattle's weakness of defense is tight end. Philadelphia, that's the only way they can move the ball. So the strength and weaknesses line up for a very, very good game this weekend. So like I said, I think it's going to be close. I think there's fantasy value for all of these teams here. But yeah, man, I think it's going to be a nail biter and Seattle wins it. That's just how I see it.
Well, you know, that's basically how a lot of their games go. So that's a safe assumption for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
When you're talking about over a season, only a 0.8, I mean, that's it's It's so odd. And I started talking about this a couple of weeks ago when I started taking a deep dive. I'm like, that can't be right. And I had to double check the source of my information because I was so convinced that that was wrong based on their record and how good they were. But it's just like, man, Russell Wilson's getting it done. That's what it tells me. And I agree with everything you said about, Aaron Rodgers carrying that team and making them so good for so long. And I'll say the same. I think that's a perfect comment, Brad. Russell Wilson is willing this team to win. And, don't bet against Russell Wilson is becoming one of my gambler's rules because he just keeps them in games they really probably shouldn't.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Anyway, Brad, I think that's about it, man. You got any other notes before we watch our first week? Is the Wolf of Tarpon Springs coming into town? That's usually the first week he does, right?
It's either the first or second, so we'll have to see. I don't think it's this weekend, so maybe next weekend.
All right, brother.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, hey, you have a great New Year's. I know you're probably getting ready to go to bed there.
I am.
Good for you.
Thank
Good
you.
For you. And yeah, man, I'm going to party hardy. So, well, not really. I'm just going to have some scotch and cry myself to sleep.
Cool, man. You're older. Sounds good.
Yeah. I shaved my beard, Brad, and I discovered I was fatter than I remembered. So you can't wait to get back.
End the decade the way you started it.
There you go, man. That's
drunk
good, man.
And crying.
There you go. All right, buddy. Well, everybody out there, have a great new year. Let's watch some games. Brad and I will be back next week. We got another 4 games. We'll see what the matchups are. We'll dig into them. But like I said, I have a lot of confidence with my betting during the regular season. But Brad, over time, has beaten the crap out of me in the postseason. So I wouldn't discount his thoughts either. So there you go. It is your niche. All right, man. So, yeah, we'll talk soon. And everybody, have a great week. Go out, make some bets, get paid.
You want to get paid, then get paid. Sean and Brad help you with the games. From the fantasy to the gambling, we the NFL experts help you win. You better tune in for the two hosts. They know everything from the players to the coaches. So get paid on a Sunday, because the team right here know the game the most. From Chi-Town to the Florida coast, got swag, got butter with the toast. Brad's a washed up model, don't hate on that. Sean writes the fantasy football almanac. So quit that losing time to win. We talk fantasy or real, whatever you win. You're going to wish this podcast never end. Now get ready for the best show to begin. Let's go.